Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful to see you. Welcome to Bayshore Gardens Community Church. Would you please stand for our opening song, Blessed Assurance? That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Who said that? That was perfect. We had a couple of them. Hey, while you are standing, would you turn to the folks around you, tell them good morning, and you're happy to see them. Mean it, too. Leo, he's here. It's okay. We got it figured out. Hey, y'all hang out just for 1 second. Very important day in the life of the church today. I know I already had you sit, and you always sing better when you're standing. Gene Mapes, where are you? It's Gene's birthday today. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Well, happy birthday. Thanks for sharing it with us. Hey. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning. Is it a good morning? It's a good morning. It's really a good morning. A lot to be thankful for. Today in here, we are talking about, hi, I'm up here, how to treat people right. You got any ideas that these folks might need to know about treating people right? What do you think? What are some key things to treating people right? Be respectful. That's a good one. Do you guys agree? Yeah, I think it's a good one. Serve. Would you like serve me dinner? I got some laundry that needs folded. I would feel very served if you folded some laundry. Anybody need some grout cleaned? Oh, fumble. Ariana, what were you going to say? If you were going to serve someone, it would be someone from the army. And how would you serve someone from the army? You would do chores for them. That's beautiful. Very good. Anything else for how to treat people right? How would you think that treating people right? What does that mean? Letting people play with one of your toys and being nice. I hope y'all are taking notes. Love them. Love them. I agree. Love them like your brother.
Be their friend.
Be their friend. You guys have got it all figured out. Hopefully we get it figured out too. And I'm going to send you off to Sunday school. Let's pray first. You can repeat after me. We'll make it easy that way. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Help us to love you more and more and more. Amen. Have a great morning in Sunday school. We'll see you at breakfast afterwards. You're awesome. Oh, love you. Hey, I want to give you just a little bit of a snapshot, a little bit of a trailer, a teaser for next Sunday. Where'd she go? She's already gone. Little Isabella is going to get baptized next Sunday. So Ginger is putting in a hot tub this week right here. We're going to call it a baptismal fount, and it's going to be fantastic. I'm so excited. I'm moving my desk out here and everything. The phone. Maybe not the guitar. I don't think it's waterproof, but it's going to be. So, something to look forward to tonight. One of the questions a long time ago, 2.5 years ago, when you all were interviewing me, potentially to be the pastor, and they said, hey, what would be the marks, the benchmarks, the guidelines for a healthy church? And I said, well, what I envision is being part of a church that does more baptisms than burials. Amen. And so we're going to start that tomorrow. And very exciting, so be in prayer for that young lady, and be in prayer. One of the vows that we will take, one of the promises that we will make is this, that we promise to surround her and teach her the love of Christ. And so you gotta mean it if you say it. At any rate, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be wonderful, something to look forward to. Our call to worship this morning comes from the 17th Psalm. Your part, both parts that you have in the responsive reading, have something at the end of them called an exclamation point. Just a little bit of knowledge for you. Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
All right. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Indeed. Amen and amen. I encourage you and invite you to join me in the unison prayer of confession, which will be followed by a quiet time of prayer. Let us pray. O eternal God and merciful Father, we humble ourselves before your great majesty, against which we have frequently sinned. We acknowledge that we deserve nothing less than eternal death. We are unclean before you and children of wrath. We often transgress your commandments, failing to do what you have commanded us, and doing that which you have expressly forbidden. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Wash us in the pure fountain of Christ's blood, so that we may become clean and white as snow. Cover us with his innocence and righteousness for the glory of your name. Deliver our understanding from all blindness and our hearts from all willfulness and rebellion. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear now the words of assurance, the pardon of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the book of Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. God's people said amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing a fun one. We're going to do a couple fun ones. You may be seated. Super excited for what's about to happen. Unbeknownst to me, because I learned a new song this week. This is a pretty popular song with some circles. And so if you know it, man, when we get to the chorus, just go for it. I mean, we might as well have church, being that we're here in church and all. Life is like a mountain river. We've been
grave. Watch the curves and hills and tunnels never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eyes upon the rim. Bless His name, and that will guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in Thy grace forevermore. You will roll a bridge of trial. You will cross that bridge of strife. See that Christ is your conductor on this lightning train of life. Always mindful of obstruction, do your duty, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in Thy grace forevermore. You will often find obstruction, look for storms and wind and rain. On a hill, a curve or trestle, they will all get your train. Put your trust alone in Jesus. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, Thou will guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in Thy grace forevermore. As you roll across the trestle, spanning Jordan's swelling tide, you behold the Union Depot into which your train will guide. There you'll meet Superintendent, God the Father, God the Son. With extended hand He'll bid you, weary pilgrim, welcome home. Blessed Savior, Thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in Thy grace forevermore. Blessed Savior, Thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in Thy grace forevermore.
That was fun, and thank you to Irv and Lolly and Roy for pulling that song together and doing that. Dane, we got a bass guitar player. See that? And Pastor Dan can play piano. Or the keyboard. If we just had a drummer. Just look at this beautiful... beautiful. Like it looks from over here, it looks like it sparkles. Does it look like it sparkles out there? Anybody know anybody who plays the drums?
Charlie.
Oh, Charlie plays the drums.
Oh, Charlie.
Oh, Charlie. We should put his cell phone number on the screen and have everybody just text him right now. Hey, Charlie, I heard you play the drums. Where are you? Would that be fun? I mean, we miss you. We want you here. So you heard during the children's time that today's sermon, which is something we're probably already experts in, maybe some of us could use a little touch up, how to treat people right. You've got a sermon outline in your order of worship. I want us to look at what James, the brother of Jesus, the younger brother of Jesus, has to say about how to treat people right. Foremost, your biggest problems, my biggest problems, are people problems. Getting along with other people. Anybody ever, like once ever, had a hard time getting along with somebody? So I'm not alone. Half of us have had a difficult time getting along with people. Half of us are telling the truth. I'm going to read to you from the book of James. This is chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. My sisters and brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, do not show favoritism. Whenever James starts a sentence with my brothers, my sisters, he's getting ready to nail you. Now, the Apostle Paul, right, he sweetens you up, right? When Paul writes one of the Pauline epistles, he just talks about how great everything is, how good everything's going, and then he, different authors, different styles. James just says, my brothers, fixing to have a come to Jesus meeting. He's talking about prejudice, partiality, favoritism. The New English Bible calls it snobbery. So if you want to just boil everything down, don't be a snob. A snob is somebody whose nose turns up when their eyes look down. Someone who always thinks and acts like they are better than everybody else. The Greek word is a compound word that means to receive and to face. So literally, to receive somebody's face. To receive somebody at face value on the basis of how they look, which we would call superficial judgment. Can you judge a book by its cover? No. Can't? Agreed. James says, do not do that. Do not accept people based on a superficial judgment. The Good News Bible says, never treat anybody in a different way according to their outward appearance. But it's a pretty common social disease, isn't it? We see somebody that doesn't quite look the way that we think they ought to look, because we're the expert of how they ought to look. And we make a judgment on them. So this morning, in order to deal with it, because we're fixing to deal with it, we're going to take a look at some common areas of discrimination. Number one, appearance. Beauty is a multi-million, billion-dollar industry in our world. Was anybody a cute kid growing up? Were you a cute? Well, Dottie, you're still cute, right? So, and I imagine life was a little bit easier for you than the ugly kids. If you're a cute kid, you got it made. If you are plain ugly, tough luck. Right? We judge people based on their appearance, how they look, how they dress. I heard an experiment that regarded hitchhikers. They dressed up some hitchhikers in different ways. The more formally dressed the hitchhiker was, and in my mind, I see a guy in a tuxedo hitchhiking with like tails, you know? The more formally dressed the hitchhiker was, the more likely the hitchhiker was to be picked up. The more grubbier you dress, the less likely you are to be able to hitch a ride. So let me ask, how do you judge people? Do you judge them immediately by how they look? For instance, if somebody has long hair and a beard, are you tempted to walk up to them and say, Jesus saves and shaves? Even the Christians get caught up in this dress for power, dress for success, dress to be cool. We are so concerned with what's in and what's out, what's hot, what's not. I prefer what Gilda Radner said in terms of philosophy of dress. I make fashion choices, she said, based on what doesn't itch. I like that. I've got a child who, if that collar in the back is too itchy, out come the scissors, right? It's easier for me to cut the scissors than, you know, for him to pull it and separate, and then we need a new shirt. Number two, ancestry. We judge people according to their race, their nationality, their ethnic background. I heard a story about a black man who went to a church in the South, and he was trying to get in, but the church was full of bigots, and they would not let him in, and he went to the pastor. And he told the pastor, I like that, straight to the pastor. And the pastor said, well, this is what the Christians say when we don't want to deal with something, do we? Just pray about it. About 3 weeks later, the pastor saw him and asked, did you talk to the Lord about it? And the man said, yes, sir, I did. And God said, don't worry, I've been trying to get into that church for 20 years and I still can't get in. We discriminate based on age, don't we? If you're too old or you're too young. We discriminate based on achievement. We gush over winners. We forget the losers. 1 minute, you're a hero. The next minute, you're a zero. They rhyme. That's how I thought you might get it. Success and status are key words. Does it bother anyone else about the increasing celebrity status, even in Christianity? Christianity has its own superstars, mostly on TV. But James says, don't do that. Don't ask for special treatment. Maybe the most common discrimination, affluence. Whether somebody is rich or poor, economic status. What attitude do you have towards people who make more money than you do? What attitude do you have towards people who make less money than you? This is the area that James picks out. Of all the areas that we can discriminate, he talks about economic distinction. This is verse 2. Suppose a man comes to church wearing gold rings, fine clothes, and also a poor man in shabby clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit on the floor at my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Here's the scene. Two guys are strangers. They arrive at church at the same time. We know they're strangers because they didn't know where to sit. So the first guy walks in and he's dripping, just drip, dripping with wealth. Go ahead, you can drip. Dripping with wealth. Everybody knows he does not fit because in the New Testament times, all of the Christians were, anyone? Poor. Most of them were slaves. It says he has what on his fingers? Gold rings. Literally, in the Greek, he is gold-fingered, like a James Bond movie. And in the New Testament times, get this out. Now we do this with other things. But in the New Testament, you could rent gold rings to prove to everyone how wealthy you were. They would cut jewels, sew them under their clothes, real showy. James doesn't criticize the guy for being wealthy at all. Please note that. He criticizes the members of the church for being partial to him. James doesn't say there's anything wrong with having wealth. It says he has fine clothes. In the Greek, It literally meant the Roman toga the politicians would wear when they were running for re-election. So we got this guy, Rich Goldfinger. Then comes the guy who is poverty-stricken. He's destitute, he's shabby, he's got holes in his jeans, and he doesn't have his shoes on. He can't afford deodorant, a little bit of BO. His hair's all over the place. He looks bad. The usher has to make a decision. Where am I going to put him? The usher takes the rich guy to the front row and seats him. Take this nice place. We want everybody to see that you're here. And then he says to the poor man, you can stand over there in the corner or you can sit on the floor. Literally, in the Greek, under my footstool. Kind of the ultimate put down. James says that there are three problems with favoritism. Number one, maybe this will be enough for some of us, favoritism is un-Christian. If you want to be like Jesus, you cannot play favorites. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus, do not show favoritism. Faith and favoritism are not compatible because we're a family. The word favoritism is only used four times in the Bible. Every other time it's referring to God, and it simply says, God does not play favorites. Romans 2 and 11. God does not show favoritism. Did Jesus treat everybody with dignity? Yes. If there is one place in the world where there should not be any kind of discrimination as to who is welcome, how people are treated, it ought to be the church. We acknowledge there's going to be discrimination everywhere else in the world. But the church? Number two, favoritism is unreasonable. In verses 5 through 7, James says it's illogical. Doesn't make sense. In the first place, he says, God has chosen the poor. That reads like this. Has not God chosen the poor to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom? He's not saying that it's good to be poor and it's bad to be rich. He's not saying that at all. He's not saying that only the poor will be rescued, saved. Side note, everyone in this room is rich compared to the majority of the world. I cringe, just so you know, when someone gets some kind of financial something cool, house, raise, car, new clothes, and go, I'm so blessed. Because it makes me wonder if that person thinks that all of the faithful Christians that live not in this country, who live beneath the poverty line and love the Lord and follow the Lord, are they not rich? Are they not blessed? It's illogical, he says. Don't confuse where you get your self-worth. God chooses the poor. He doesn't expect them to be wealthy in order to be saved. On top of this, he says, the rich could care less about you. Why worry about catering to them? Is it not the rich exploiting you? Here's what it means. In the New Testament times, it was the Roman nobility who were feeding the Christians to the lions. It was the upper crust, insulting the Christians, judging the Christians, persecuting the Christians, throwing the Christians to the lions. And James says, why are you worried about impressing them? They're certainly not worried about impressing you. In fact, they're doing the opposite. Anybody, do you know what it's like to kiss up to people who are affluent? Why we like to cater and get close to people who are celebrities? Have you ever met somebody super rich or super famous? Did you get starstruck a little bit? I once, and I'm about to tell you a starstruck story, except I always get the name convinced. Okay, there's Jack Nicklaus and Jack Nicholson. One is a golfer, one is a movie star. Which one is the movie star? Nicholson, right. I was at the movies one time, and Jack Nicholson walked in with an entourage and walked right up to me. Right? Walked right up to me and said, "Well, good evening." And I acted just like this. This is a true story. And then my friend, who I was at the movies with, grabbed my arm and leaned in and said, "You're standing at the top of the stairs. He can't get past you." And like a day later, when it finally hit me, I was like, "That was Jack Nicholson. We talked. He talked to me." And he was like, "You're blocking him, you big oaf." If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. Why is it called the royal law? Because if we obeyed that one, probably wouldn't need most of the rest. Love your neighbor as yourself. We ought to put that on a banner. We ought to sum it up to just two words, loving others. We ought to make that our focus, loving God, loving others. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. All the law is summed up in one sentence. Love your neighbor as yourself. If I play favorites, I'm being unloving. The Bible says that how we relate to other people shows how much we really love God. If a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he is lying. How can you love God whom you haven't seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen? How I relate to you proves how much I love God. Favoritism is unloving. Do we know how to love unconditionally? I don't think we do. We do know how to show favoritism, yes? Verse 9, if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Jesus is saying that people think favoritism is such a small sin, but he says if you break God's rule, you break God's rule. Be careful. It's serious business. Verse 11. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you don't commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. What is he saying? He's illustrating his point about being unloving. If I come to your house and I say, "I really respect you a whole lot. The way I'm going to prove how much I love you is I'm not going to commit adultery with your wife. However, if you tick me off, I reserve the right to murder you." Are you going to thank me for that? Will you appreciate my love? How absurd, ridiculous, right? Verse 12. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will not be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs judgment. Love treats people with mercy. Love gives people what they need, not what they deserve. James is maybe thinking about his half-brother Jesus, who said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." Well, that's the problem. Let's talk about the prescription. How to treat people right. There was an article that said, in a survey of over 8,000 people from church congregations in 39 different denominations, they measured their love quotient. The Institute reports growing churches are more loving to each other, and especially to visitors, than declining churches. Loving churches attract more people regardless of their theology, their denomination, or their location. They surveyed them, gave them a quotient of 1 to 100. Of the 12 denominations scoring below 65%, all of them except two were declining. Of the 13 denominations scoring above 65, all of them had been growing for 10 years. Most churches that are growing today have learned how to love. A church that loves people is a church that grows. Typically, in analyzing reasons for growth in a church, the focus is on factors such as pastoral leadership. Who's the pastor? Attractiveness of the facilities. Location. Is their theology liberal or conservative? Is it evangelical? But there is increasing evidence that none of that matters as much as how much love and acceptance people experience when they attend. It's love that reaches people. You don't argue anybody into the kingdom of heaven. You love them into the kingdom of heaven. How do you do that? Three steps. Number one, accept everybody. Just for fun. All right, not for fun. Just for honesty. Have you ever been to a church of spiritual snobs? We got it right. You don't. Do you know why people have a hard time accepting others? Because people confuse acceptance with approval. There's a big difference between acceptance and approval. Did you know you can accept somebody without approving of their lifestyle? They might be doing something totally contrary to the Word of God, but you can accept them as a person without approving their lifestyle. Romans 15, verse 7. Accept one another just as Christ accepts you. That's a start. Acceptance. We're trying here to cultivate an attitude, an atmosphere of acceptance. I mean, look around. We accept you. You accept me. May I remind you that a church that is doing what it is put on God's green earth to do is a hospital for sinners, not a hotel for the saints. If you're perfect, you don't belong here. This is a church where imperfect people are growing. This is a church for people who do not have it all together. Something that I really love about this church is we have every kind of background that you could imagine. We got Catholics. Where are my burned out Catholics? Yeah, amen. I'm so glad you're here. We got some charismatics. We got some Baptists, some Presbyterians, some Episcopalians, some Lutherans, some Assembly of God, some Pentecostals, some evangelical free. We got some nothing. We got some atheists. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters where you are now. It matters where you're going. If you want to grow up more and more like Jesus every day, you're welcome here. I don't care where you've been. Acceptance is the key. Number one. Number two, appreciate everybody. This goes a little bit further than acceptance. Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Appreciate everybody. Find something you can like, not just accept, and tell them so. Might require a little bit of creativity. You might have to look for a little. Jeannie, favorite ice cream flavor?
Butter pecan.
Butter pecan. Olga? Butter pecan. This is blowing the whole thing I was trying to do. Anybody not like butter pecan? Okay. Whew. Okay. It's your birthday. What's your favorite ice cream?
Chocolate.
Thank you for not saying butter pecan. We got butter pecan. We got chocolate.
Black raspberry.
Now we're getting somewhere. Nissa, do you care for ice cream? So no. Yeah.
Strawberry.
Did you say strawberry too? All right. But stop with the butter pecan. Pastor Dan, what is your favorite ice cream?
Neapolitan.
Does that surprise you at all? He wants all three of them together. Yeah, that a guy. Jim, do you like ice cream? No. Spike said, you don't? That was good. Rocky Road, anybody? Just me, no doubt. Okay, that a girl. Coffee ice cream. Yeah, that's a good one. Thelma ice cream, if you were going to treat yourself to some ice cream, what flavor would it be? Dottie? Okay, Donna. Vanilla with hot fudge. Aside from the butter pecan, which apparently, if some ice cream company is watching this on the internet today, you're welcome. Make a lot of butter pecan. We got strawberry, we got vanilla with fudge, we got coffee, Rocky Road, Neapolitan. So many different flavors. Can you imagine if everybody in this church was only one flavor? What a boring church. Ginger, is Bill allowed to eat ice cream? No. But Bill, if you were allowed, what would be your flavor?
I just buy her a hot fudge sundae and I can have a spoon.
Hot fudge sundae.
With nuts.
Do you get it? Do you get it? Everyone is different. Everyone is unique. That's on purpose. That's by God's design. That's not a bad thing. That is something to be celebrated. Number three, affirm everybody. Give everybody a little boost whenever you can. It says this in the Bible. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Encourage one another and build each other up. When people stumble, do you criticize or do you sympathize? Be an encourager, not a complainer, not a condemner. Not a critical person, not a judger. You can encourage people just by, practice this for me, eyes forward. Thank you for those of you that smile. That was a good smile. That was a beautiful smile. Can you just do that for the rest of the sermon? I might go for hours. What is God saying in James? The church that accepts, appreciates, and affirms people is the church that God blesses. Absolutely nothing can stop a church that is filled with love. I believe that in my guts. Pastor Dan, do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. And it doesn't happen accidentally. You don't love somebody by osmosis. You got to do something. You got to smile at them. I just wanted you to smile again. Everybody has to contribute to the atmosphere of the church. Everyone does contribute. You either contribute negatively or you contribute positively. We'd like to shift in this direction. Doesn't matter what color or race, income level, age, how cute, how ugly, you are welcome here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Now we are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek or slave or free or even male or female. We're all the same. There is no distinction in the body of Christ. We are Christians. We are one in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that in a place like this, as we look around our church, our streets, our neighborhoods, this is a message that we need to hear. Lord, it is so easy to become smug and presumptuous, to judge, to look down on others who are different. But God, I pray that there would be an outstretched hand and a warm hug and a loving smile for every person who comes here. God, forgive us for making judgments about people based on outward appearance. Help us to realize that favoritism and faith do not match. They do not mix. They are incompatible. Help us to realize that it is unchristian, unreasonable, unloving. And my prayer is that each one of us would commit ourselves to accepting people, appreciating people, and affirming people because you have accepted us. This is our prayer. We pray it in Jesus' name. Praying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The ushers come forward for this morning's offering. God, you are the giver of all the good and perfect gifts. You pour down your love because you are love. Would you help us to be loving to you and to everyone that we encounter? Our lives and this offering are the way that we say thank you. Use us and use this offering for your glory, for your benefit, for your honor, for spreading your love and your light in this world. Amen.
Leaning, we are leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. We are leaning, we are leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. And we are leaning, we are leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. We are leaning, we are leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. And we are leaning, we are leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. We are leaning, we are leaning, leaning on the everlasting.
Don't sing, don't sing.
What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, and we are leaning, we are leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. We are leaning, we are leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
We'll keep you. You passed the audition. Yeah, you can stay standing because, yeah, there's not a whole lot in the way of announcements. Hey, something that we want to extend to you is we are in the process of launching a new ministry of sorts, and here's the short of it. This is my elevator speech. There are people in the church that could use a little bit of help. There are people in the church who could give a little bit of help. If you're needing some help around your house, yard work, sewing, cleaning, organizing, maybe some small stuff, we've got people that could do that. So if you are a helper or someone who could use a little bit of help, please contact the church office. We're calling this the Helping Hands Ministry. Here's a prayer for you. Our young people have 5 days left of school. So maybe pray for their teachers for 5 days. But after that, it's every young person's favorite part of the school year, summer. And something that we'd like to offer to you is that if you are willing to assist or be a helper in the Sunday school class, we're not necessarily asking you to teach, but simply to give a helping hand to one of our teachers, would you please come talk to me? Remember, today is a very important day in the life of this church. It's Jean's birthday. Well, I mean, it comes around once a year, so we may as well milk it for all it's worth. You know what I'm saying? There's no butter pecan ice cream at lunch today, but there is a fantastic spread. So we hope that you will stick around, that you will stay. If you are a guest this morning, forgive me for not welcoming you sooner, but here it is. So glad you're here. I want you to come back, and I also want you to stick around for breakfast. And I'm going to send you out asking the Lord to bless us with these words. You go nowhere. Do you have an announcement? If you haven't gotten your directory picture, find Roy. He's been carrying those things around, and he'd love to give them to you. Okay. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has purpose in putting you there, and it's this. Christ, who lives inside of you, has something that he wants to do in you, with you, through you. Wherever you are, wherever you go, leave this place, head towards lunch, and be certain of God's grace, God's love, and God's power. In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost, the Lord bless you all real good. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here.